up here. Okay. So, as I indicated, I thought I'd start today with just a little bit of trivia. And so, I'll show you the game set up here in a second. You'll see that there's four categories. And so, I'll do my very, very best to make sure I call this right. All right. So, I haven't actually tried this out fully yet, so we'll see that it works. Hopefully the answer doesn't pop up when I show the card. You'll see four categories: Gospel of John, which is our Wednesday night study; Exodus, which has been our Sunday morning study; Creation, because John Vandenberg was over at my house yesterday and I needed another category, and he said, "How about Creation?" So I said, "Bingo, that's the one we'll do." So he can't answer any of those questions because he helped me with them. And then lastly is Potpourri, which if you're a Jeopardy fan, it just means it's a mishmash of different stuff. So, Rebecca, because you answered that question first, you're going to get the honor of choosing a category and a money value for the first one. Where is Rebecca? Where did Creation 200. By the way, we'll do it like this. It's two teams, this side versus this side. I'm totally going to mess this up because I'm going to try to, if I mess it up, just call me out. Balcony, use the window as my sort of divider, so you can split yourselves up or just observe. That's up to you, but clearly these people are over here, and Aaron and Ken and Kim and the others are on this side. So, you said Creation 200. Okay, so I'd like us both to. We'll need two sets of eyes on this. Okay, so let's see if this works. God did this on the seventh day. Yes, Dwight. He rested. Now, I think, reveal correct response. Let's see here. He rested. Genesis 2:2. That's correct. All right. I have candies. There's a Mars bar and a Werther's and what are these other ones called? Starbursts. So I won't have time to run and give them to you, but maybe I'll get a runner to do it. Jesse, so thank you so much. That's great. All right. Okay, so that's team two. We'll call this team team two and this team team one. If I mess this up, again, call me on it. Okay. So let's see if I can get this right. All right. It's off the board. Oh, this is working wonderfully. Dwight, since you got that one, you get to pick the next one. Creation 300. God created these things on the sixth day. Not all at once, yes? Man and animals. Let's see if that's correct. Living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, beasts of the earth, and man. That's correct. Well done, team one. That's a great question, and I'm going to say, I don't know. No. That's right. That's the right answer. Sorry, these are my 500s for the 500 points. Yeah, so these are the other ones here. Okay. Awesome. Sorry. Jacques, you're up. Oh, here it is. In Exodus 16, we are told that manna tastes like this. Okay, yes, Misty. Let's check and see. What are wafers made with honey? Well done. So that's this team, right? Team two. All right, early lead. Okay, great. Misty, you're up. Oh, the 500, by the way, the 500 baggies have a couple extra candies in them because they're a little bit tougher. Not always. He made the Ark of the Covenant with acacia wood overlaid with gold. That is not the correct answer. Yet, Noah. He did not make the Ark of the Covenant with acacia wood. He might have, but hold on. Did you see any of these? I saw Merle. Not correct. Not correct. Well, this double candy is not going out. David? The other guy. Let's see. Bezalel, there you go. Well done. Tough points. I'll give that to you, I guess. Good job. Okay, so team two with a commanding lead here so far. Hey, you can come back. Leonard, your call here. Gospel of John 300. He said to his brother, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Billy, sorry? Not according to my answers. I need a different answer. This side, you want to give me a shot? Better give you first crack. Who said that? Philip, we raise our hands. Philip is the correct answer. Well done. Awesome job. Okay, Loudon, your call. Creation 500, a biggie. This phrase in verse 26 of chapter 2 indicates the first hint of the Trinity mentioned in the Bible. That is it. Well done. Okay. All right, you needed that one, team. Yeah, that's a 500-er. Right? Or was that a 400? Okay, very good. Okay, Jenna, the board is yours. Gospel of John 500. During the triumphal entry in John 12, the people cried out, "Hosanna," which means this. Let's see. "Oh, Lord, save." I'm going to give it to you. That's good enough. There you go. Is that a five? Okay. This is a quiet audience. You guys are not into this. Is that a good 500 question? I think it is. There we go. 1900. Oh, that's because this team is depressed because you're getting pounded. That's why. It's all right. So, okay. Back to you, Rebecca. Creation 100. This is the very first thing God created. Already answered. That's correct. Well done. Oh, somebody finally went after the potpourri category. Extra points for bravery. This is the subject of the first bullet point in our statement of faith. The subject. Yeah, I don't need the whole thing. What is it? The subject. The first thing. No cheating. Yes. The scriptures, but you already answered. He's right, but he already answered. The scriptures. The scriptures! Hey! Give it to Dixie! Just for kicks, I'm going to give them the right answer points just to make it more interesting. You have the same acute sense of fairness that my grade 8s have. Dixie? You get to choose. Potpourri 400. The second verse of this new to us hymn states, "The night is dark, but I am not forsaken. For by my side the Savior, he will stay." That's correct. Well done. Oh, and look at that. They're creeping ever close. Sorry, am I out? Okay, good. I have exactly the number of candies per the question, so no bonus gifts. Okay. Hazel, the board's yours. All right. This happened in Sychar around noon, John 4. Happened in Sychar. It's the place. Yes. Jesus meeting the woman of Samaria. Very good. Okay, good. Heather, board. Exodus 300. This was the first plague on the Egyptians. The first one, Thomas. The water turned to blood, or the plague of blood. Whew. Okay. And team two is back in the lead solidly again. All right. Thomas, pick a category. Creation. 400. God made carrots on this day of creation. Vegetables. Yes? Let's see. Day. Oh. Yeah, you got it right. Yay! I got a couple more here, Jesse. All right. I guess I have to give this team points for that. Okay. All right. Now you got to pick a category with help from your parents or your grandparents. All right. This is a good question. This faux pas, which happened on a Sunday morning in 2022, is the single most humiliating moment in Dan's life. Yes, Kim. That is what happened. That is absolutely true. I'm so happy to be a lesson for everybody else. All right, Kim, your call here. 200. As of the creation of this game board, the last baby to be born to a couple from the chapel, first and last name of the baby. Yes. That is correct. Okay. See if you can catch that. Good job. Did I give the points for this team? Not yet. Okay. Well done. Okay, John, pick a category. Exodus 200. Come on, team one, you can do this. There were this many veils in the tabernacle. Somebody else surges. He's on fire, but I got to try to share it around. Anybody? Yes. I love that you answered that way. Not according to my answers. This team want to take a stab? No? Yes? Two? So there's the first one and then the second one into the Holiest of Holies? Does that count? Yeah? Anyone going to challenge me on that one? Okay, very good. Hey, good for this team. Right on. Okay. Exodus 100. She found the baby Moses floating in the Nile and sent a servant to go get him. Hold on. I better be fair. I think it was... Yeah. Yes! Good job. Okay. 38. Okay. Yeah, my fault. My fault. I should have been clear. Okay, now, there's not 2,000 points on the board left, but just try to make a game of it. Pick a category. Gospel of John 2. This I am statement is found in John 14. Yes, Joy. That is correct. Well done. If I could double or triple these points to make it more interesting, I would. I just don't know the game board that well. So, Joy, pick one of the last two. Gospel of John. In the beginning was this whole verse. John. Very good. Okay. And we'll clear the board with potpourri number one for 100. This girl has a birthday today. Esther is correct, and I'll give it to this team just because. Also, Robin Bagwell and some others, but I knew that she had a birthday, so I wanted to note that. So there you go. Congratulations, team two. Well done. A decisive victory. Well done. Okay. Okay. Yeah, that worked very well. I have to try that again sometime. Thank you for your participation, and that was very good. So one of our trivia questions tonight was about John chapter 14, verse 6, and I'd like to spend a little time, just have a little devotional on that particular section of text, but I'd like to start in John chapter 13. So if you have your Bibles, I'll invite you to just join me there. John chapter 13, and we'll just by way of context, so in this chapter, John 13, Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples. He's washed their feet. He has given them the discouraging news for them that one of them would betray him, and they were obviously quite shocked by this. And then he ends by saying that talking about how he's going to be glorified. And he says that he's going away. So verse 38 of chapter 13 of the Gospel of John says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for me? Truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And then Jesus answers in this lovely, compassionate way. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. So if we, you know, I'm sure we've envisioned this scene numerous times before. It just seems like wave after wave of difficulty has just, you know, been of news has been handed down to the disciples here, that this Messiah, this teacher who they have spent these years with and followed and loved, has told them that you know, first of all, that someone's going to betray him, and that that they're all going to tucktail and run eventually, and that that he's going to die. He's going to go away from them. So what a difficult collection of news to bear. And so you can imagine, I'm sure, just how these disciples would feel with this compounding of bad news of what they thought was going to happen, the way they thought things were going to roll out, all of a sudden comes to a crashing halt. And I think, you know, you can understand that it would have been a real attack on their faith, a real attack on their assurance, their confidence in what was happening, what was going to happen in the days ahead. And I guess, you know, we can all relate to that in one respect or another, that, you know, in these seemingly troublesome days, uncertain times, that the difficulties that come into our lives of many different stripes and varieties, depending, you know, each one unique, depending on the individual and the family and the circumstances, sometimes they compile one after the other. And I'm sure if this has happened to you, you can experience some of that discouragement. And then sometimes with that, with this, the repeated sort of battering, it can really attack at our core, at our foundation, and it gets to our assurance. And perhaps we fumble a little in the things, you know, we thought, well, I thought this was the way things were going to go, and now I'm not so sure. For young people in university and college, and as you get older and as you learn more and as you're exposed to more of the world, you know, and you're challenged on your Sunday school beliefs and the things that you learned perhaps in your home, you can perhaps feel that attack and feel that maybe your foundations are crumbling a little bit. And then with that is doubt and often worry and stress and anxiety, and comes with that. You know, this is, I think, a pretty common case amongst us as believers, that we can go through these seasons of doubt, seasons where we just are not as sure in our footing and our faith as we were before. And I think the disciples here are picturing this for us, of this difficulty. And so they're fortunate they have this audience with the Lord Jesus, and he gives them this reassurance. He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Now, if that's just you or I saying that to them, that has an entirely different meaning than if it's the Lord Jesus, the one who they had seen speak so lovely and so purely the one who they'd seen, you know, raise Lazarus from the dead, who they'd seen heal the sick and comfort the brokenhearted and feed the 5,000 and the many thousands. You know, they had seen him do all this stuff. And so there's some weight behind these words of let not your heart be troubled. And he continues, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. This is John 14. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know the way you are going. How can we know the way? And I read a commentator who spoke of just the loveliness of this exchange in which, and Thomas in his just forthrightness and innocence and just the way that there's communing there, it's the way friends would speak with one another. It's not formal. It's not fearful. It's just the way, and it speaks to the relationship that Thomas would have with the Lord Jesus, and that he could ask such a question, revealing his sort of ignorance, even though, you know, Jesus probably could say, well, haven't you heard all the things that I've just been saying to you over and over and over again? I told you I'm going away. I told you I'm going to be sacrificed for the sins of the people. And yet, of course, the Lord Jesus does not respond that way. He responds in kindness, compassion, and love to Thomas, even though he had said the same thing over and over. He doesn't lose his patience with his disciples, and he doesn't lose his patience with us when we go through these difficult moments in our life, when we perhaps have these trials of our faith and discouragement. We know that the Lord Jesus is not tired of us. He's not exhausted of hearing from us, and so I think that's important for us to note. And so Jesus says, "I'm going away, but I'm going to my Father. And then when I come back, I will come again and take you there myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And perhaps we don't know what, you know, how much the disciples actually heard. Perhaps they were still stuck in the, you're going away. We thought maybe, you know, we some of this rumblings of you being the Messiah, and maybe this is going to be a political thing. We don't know fully where their heads were at in this. They just knew this one who they had been following, who they had trusted and had seen do all these things, was now saying, I'm not going to be here very shortly. And so he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Well, how? Upon what? Well, yes, his whole life, his teachings, his miracles, his signs, his healings, and et cetera, rest on that. But he also says these wonderful things to these disciples, scared, uncertain of their future, wondering, are you really God? Are you really there? Are you really going to come back? Are you going to do all the things that you said you're going to do? Then thinking of their own maybe situations, like, I left my fishing business. I left my work, you know, as a tax collector. I left these things. I left it all for you, and now you're saying you're leaving. Jesus, how does Jesus respond there? He says, I'm going away. And so Thomas is like, well, you know, almost in that very very simple way, he's like, well, we'll just come with you. Are you going to another country? Are you going to get a boat again and go across the water? We'll come with you. And even though Jesus has said, where I'm going, you can't come. But Thomas says, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus responds, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's going to heaven, and the only way to get to heaven is through him. And so he uses these wonderful phrases, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The way, the Greek essence of the word is as follows. In this reference here in John 14:6, it's meant to be understood as Jesus saying, I am the way by which one passes, with whom all who seek approach to God must enter into closest fellowship. So I am the way through which one passes. This is how you come to God, the way. And we often talk about the exclusivity of the phrase, the way, not allowing for multiple paths. Intolerant, to some would see this as an intolerant claim, that it's only one, not allowing for others. Consider the speaker who makes the claim. Learn of him. He can back up that claim, and he does so through his life, through his miracles, through his death and resurrection. Not many ways, one way. They come to the Father. So, the way. And the truth, he says. I am the truth. And here the word means, I am he in whom the truth is summed up and impersonated. I am the very essence of truth. He is the truth because he embodies, this is the Lord Jesus, he embodies God's supreme revelation. And you read about that in John 1 and 5 and 8 and numerous other spots. What a claim, the truth. And this is the one that I think in our current modern context is the one that probably receives as much flack as to say he is there is only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus. To make an exclusive claim of being the definitive truth. There is only one truth, and it is the one who embodies it himself, the Lord Jesus. We know the way that the world has torn up to shreds this idea of truth. And it started back with Pilate, and it was probably before Pilate in those days of the philosophers, and ever since then, this idea of truth has been attacked and watered down and tried to fit whoever's different box. But the Word of God is clear, and the Son of God is clear. I am the truth. And lastly, he says, I am the life. Now, my understanding of this, and I think this is correct, the Greek word for life is zoe, which is interesting. And the idea, the essence of it here, as Jesus says it, is real life, genuine life, a life active and vigorous, devoted to God, blessed, the portion, even in this world, of those who put their trust in Christ, but after the resurrection, to be consummated by new accessions, among them a more perfect body, and to last forever. He is the life. And this, the idea, again, of the sense of aliveness with the Spirit of God animating each of us fully with what God has created us to be, namely, his image bearers. And so, this is what Jesus is saying. I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And this is to be the words that are to assure Thomas and the disciples, to give them confidence, to give them faith and trust. He is the one in whom is the way, the truth, and life. He is the way to the Father. He will get us where we need to go. So, you know, often we see this verse as, and it's often preached from a pulpit in a gospel context, and rightly so, for a lost world needs to hear that there is one way and one truth that will lead to ultimate life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But I think it's important for us as believers also to read this verse and unto plumb its depths and its riches as believers. When we have, in our day-to-day struggles and in our life, when we need that assurance, when we need that confidence, we need to, and I often do, return to verses like this one, that although the world offers versions of, you know, different pathways and different, you know, and sometimes although we as Christians maybe take pathways or go in different directions than we ought to be going, we can always return to the way. And we are encouraged and beckoned to return to the way as the ultimate source. When our scriptures are attacked in the media and in the culture around us, when they are demeaned and thought little of, and that infiltrates us, that gets into our heads sometimes, like that affects the way we think sometimes, and we maybe are caused to wonder, is it really true? Can I trust the word? Can I believe in it entirely when I hear this scholar attacking this part or this person saying this and so on and so forth? Can we trust it? And the answer is there is no other truth than the Word of God. And you hear often of people who, when they try to piece together a philosophy or a worldview of their own thinking plus a little bit of this religion or this particular leader or whatever, it always comes up lacking. It always comes up unfulfilling. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the full truth, the whole truth. In him is truth. He embodies truth like no other worldly philosophy, like no other religion. He is the ultimate sense of truth. And when we fully give ourselves over to the Lord Jesus Christ as the ultimate way, the only way, the ultimate, exclusive, perfect truth, how that then affects and feeds into and changes the life, our life. Our life is exactly what it says, what it ought to be. When we fully put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the way and the truth, we can grow into that through walking with him daily and learning of him and reading his word. We can invigorate that sense of aliveness with the Spirit of God animating us fully to be what God has created us, namely his image bearers. What a wonderful truth it is for me that, in the midst of difficult times and sometimes heartaches and challenges to the very foundations of the things that I hold or have always held to be true, when those foundations sometimes crumble, I can return to this one who is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, Proverbs speaks a lot about these three things, and it teaches us a little bit about the Lord Jesus in the way that it speaks of sort of the contrast in some ways. In Proverbs 14, this is what it says about ways or the ways. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. The ways of man lead to death. The way leads to life. Proverbs 23 says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy wisdom and instruction and understanding. So there's value in truth. It's not something that we can just create our own versions of, like creating our own currency then going to try to buy things with it. There's no value in it. The truth is of inestimable value and we ought to cling to it. Proverbs 12 says, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. So there is a synonymous there. Righteousness and life are connected. So when we lose our way, when we get off track, perhaps when we are allured by false promises or lies of a better, perhaps easier life sometimes, we must remind ourselves that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. A commentator has said, because Jesus is the way, he relieves my fear of being lost. Because Jesus is the truth, he removes my need to continue the search. Because Jesus is the life, he reinforces my hope for a home in heaven. If I'm wandering about and don't know where I'm going, Jesus is the way. If I'm confused and I don't know what to think in this world, Jesus is the truth. If I'm dead inside and don't know how I am going to go on in my particular difficult circumstances, Jesus is the life. So may we just be encouraged by these things, that believers, that we have a Savior who loves us, who cares about us, who we can cry out to at any point in our life, and that we can rest in assurance, in full assurance, that the one who we've put our foundation, our faith in is this ultimate source, the way, the truth, and the life. Our God and Father, we thank you for our time together this evening. We thank you for Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you for the exclusivity of his claims, that no one comes to the Father except through him. If there's anyone this evening who has not put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, who has tried to come to you another way, their own way, who have tried to cobble together a truth that suits their lifestyle or their way of living, and that they ultimately realize comes up as empty, may they cling to the true one, the Lord Jesus Christ, this evening. May they find the life, that richness and fullness of life that is only found in you. And for us who are believers, Father, help us to be just recommitted in our faith, to be strengthened in knowing that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and that we have put our faith and trust in you, and you will guide us, you will carry us, you will lead us, Father. And we know that you are at the right hand of the Father. We know that you are coming again for us, and we believe it to be soon. Help us and strengthen us until that day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.